As I look at the title of the message this morning, which sometimes I struggle to come up with each week, I suppose it would be better titled, "It's Not as Hard as It Seems." One of the interesting practices of our culture here in our country is that we oftentimes make things harder than they really are or than they need to be, don't we? We just love to make things harder. It happens oftentimes due to divisions between people, differences in intellect and financial standing, maybe even age, and that list isn't exhaustive by any means. As far as intellect's concerned, in the way we use words, have you ever walked into a restaurant and you read the menu and you look at the menu and you think, wow, what is that? I don't even know what that is. So you talk to somebody else and, oh, they understand those words. When they tell you what it is, you say, that's nothing more than a glorified hamburger. Maybe in terms of instructions. You open something up and you have to put it together. You open the instructions up and it tells you to put this thing, this doohickey, in this port. You think, what are they talking about? I don't understand those words. It's harder than it really needs to be. Put piece A into piece B. You know what I'm saying? Maybe in terms of technology. Boy, oh boy, do we ever make things harder than they really need to be. Why doesn't anybody make cars with roll-up windows anymore? Right? The other day I was watching someone who had a very new car, got into their car and turned the key on, and lo and behold, what came up on the dash was not gauges, speedometers, and tachometers. It was a small television screen. How do we read those things driving down the road? Regarding financial standing, we find it so much harder than it needs to be. You folks know. We deal with medicine. We have to find out what our copay is. We have to find out how much it is. I stood in line the other day at the pharmacy and the pharmacist came up and was giving a prescription to a young girl who had given her the prescription from the doctor. The pharmacist was giving her the medicine and she looked at the young girl and said, "Do you know how much this is? It's $300 and some dollars. And the young girl just stood with her eyes that big around. Why can't they just have the medicine that they need to heal them? Possibly in terms of banking, we make things more difficult. Oh my gosh, do I ever have a bone to pick with the banks these days that make it so much harder than it really needs to be. And of course, then there's those computers and cell phones and cars. I laugh oftentimes when I load my printer with paper, because aren't we supposed to be saving paper and saving trees by using computers? But unfortunately, we're actually using more, aren't we? Because they tell you to make sure to make a hard copy for your records. Well, isn't that what we were doing before? You know, it goes on and on and on and on. We make things harder than they really need to be. And sadly, this has even found its way into the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the years. Christianity seems to have become something that has become hard for many people simply because so much fluff has been added throughout the years to the Christian faith. From the earliest times of Christianity, faith in Jesus didn't seem like enough. The Bible says we have salvation by grace through faith. But, you know, we're human beings and that just didn't seem like enough. We had to add things to it. There had to be something more than just believing in Jesus and accepting Him as our Savior. Don't we have to do something? Isn't there some sort of requirement to be met? And as a result, many Christians today are laboring through their lives as if there's some burden that's been put on them by heaven, whether they're still trying to find the secrets or whether they've discovered some truths, but that just doesn't seem like enough. And they labor through this thing we call Christianity and struggle through it. Everyone seems to have their particular take on Christianity these days. But interesting enough, there isn't anything new. There isn't anything new. There are no new discoveries. There is no new thinking. It's just a rehashing of ancient heresies or false teachings that still to this day mislead people. We are just hashing it all out all over again. And somebody says, that's new teaching. That's a new discovery. No, it's not. It's right here. Paul dealt with it in the Bible. So, when we look at the Bible, and we examine the problems through the teaching here, it becomes clear it's not as hard as it seems. Why has Christianity become such a stumbling block to people? You know, have you ever stubbed your toe on something? You're walking along and you stub your toe. Maybe you're coming up the steps and all of a sudden you stub your toe on the step and you almost fall. The step didn't move, did it? But we stub our toe. It becomes a stumbling thing for us. And the answer is because we've lost our focus on the main thing, Christ and Christ crucified. In our text today, Paul deals with this. He's talking to the believers in Corinth. And boy, I would have loved to have lived in Corinth at that time. Corinth was a cosmopolitan city. You don't know what that means? It means there was everything you wanted in Corinth. There was all kinds of teachings, all kinds of religions came together in this port city. It was a major port city and a city of trading at the time. People from all over the then known world came to Corinth. So you can imagine what a mix that was in the city there. So what would happen, Paul came in and he taught the Christians there about faith in Jesus Christ, bringing salvation and eternal life. But other teachers were coming and bringing other things, so people were taking bits and pieces from all these different teachings and mixing them together and saying, this is my religion. This is real true Christianity. And Paul kept saying, no, it's not. It's not. We have that problem today in the church. I meet with people oftentimes and say, well, I take a little from this and a little from this and a little from Christianity and the best from all those, and that's what I believe. And I say, that's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. So Paul deals with this problem. He says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Because it was written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. This word foolishness that Paul was talking about, saying that the message of the cross and Christ crucified in the Greek language implied that that message was silly. It was dull. It was stupid, and it was absurd. And the word comes from a root word of moros, where we get the word moron from, and it implies in the Greek language a blockhead. So you can imagine why a lot of preachers today that are preaching the gospel of Christ crucified are considered dull and maybe blockheads. Paul goes on to say, and a distinction between two people. Where is the wise man? Where's the scholar? Where's the philosopher of this age? Notice he says, though, first, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The perishing and the saved. To one, the cross is foolishness. To other, it's the actual power and ultimate power of God. He's talking about two problematic characteristics. Wisdom and intelligence. And he's quoting from Isaiah's warning of woe to Judah for its hypocrisy. You know, in Isaiah the Lord warned Judah because they were hypocrites. Okay? They were claiming to be one thing but doing something else. They were claiming to be wise, they were claiming to be intelligent, but God said to them in Isaiah, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent I'll frustrate. Paul says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but over here to us it's the power of God. The power of God. Where's the wise man? Paul says, where's the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Where is the wise man, the thinker that understands clearly, Paul's implying? The scholar, the one who writes, and the philosopher. Do you know what the philosopher means here, what Paul was implying when he said this? A disputer who causes controversies. Our church is full of them. The church of Jesus Christ. is full of philosophers. Everybody's got a philosophy. They can't wait to dispute something and cause a controversy. That's not true Christianity, but it was a problem in the early Christian church, and it is today. People who think they're wise, scholarly, or they're philosophical, but only in a worldly sense. Paul says, where are these people? God has made them foolish. He's made foolish the wisdom of the world. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. In other words, it pleased God. He approved it. The foolishness of the message of the cross, God approved that to save those who believe. So what Paul is saying here is that the message of the cross is not foolish in God's eyes. Whoever believes God's message and accepts it as truth will be saved, the Bible tells us. Saved here means someone who is persuaded, has faith in, and relies on Christ for salvation. Persuasion, faith, and reliance on Christ. For since the wisdom of God, since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Those who are persuaded, have faith in, and total reliance on Christ Jesus for salvation. This is the power that Paul talks about in verse 18. The message of the cross, the power of God, faith and nothing else. Now he goes on to say, Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Gentiles. You see, one of the things about the Jewish faith, the Jewish religion is, they demand signs. They had their signs in the Old Testament, all throughout the leading in the desert. God's people were given signs, and they wanted signs and wonders and miracles from God to determine God's will. And to determine they were God's people because God was showing Himself to them. The Greeks, they looked for wisdom. In other words, in them, it was knowledge. Knowledge that brought you to salvation. Knowledge. And what you know, it's what you know. Well, you know, that's where the heresy Gnosticism came from. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. In other words, to a lot of people, especially the Greeks, you had to have special knowledge to be saved. Again, a heresy that's in the church today. You got to know certain things. You've got to understand certain things. But for Christians, faith in Christ's sacrifice for our sins is the power of God. And sadly, it's a stumbling block to the Jews, and it's foolishness to the Gentiles. Christians, faith in Christ's sacrifice for our sins. To those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, it's Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God for Christians. Remember the times when we stub our toes? Many then and now stumble over simple teaching. We stub our toes and stumble because we've lost focus, haven't we? We're not focusing properly. You see, what's taking place in Christian religion today is now, we want people to be Christians. We want them, sadly, to be like us. See, so we go out and we witness. We want you should be like us. Go to church and all this. That's not the key. When we do that, we literally stand and beckon people to come and hear, focus on me, focus on me. And what happens is they're going, they're not focusing on the path, and they're stumbling along the way, and they're stubbing their toes. Instead, our job as Christians, our calling as Christians, and our goal is to remove the stumbling blocks and don't point them to us, point them to Christ. And say, as long as you stay focused on Christ, your path will be made clear. You might stub your toe once in a while, and don't we stub our toes as Christians going along? But we do it because we lose focus for a little bit. You see, a stumbling block in the way is a difficulty or it's an obstacle. So what do we want to do in our path? We want to make our path smooth. We want to remove those obstacles, those stumbling blocks. We want to remove the difficulties in the path. And Paul says, to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, it's Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. No matter how foolish we might think it is, it's God's way, it's His power, and it's His wisdom and His strength. When Paul wrote to the Romans concerning this, he wrote to them in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. How has a righteousness from God been revealed? In Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, in times past, God revealed Himself through His prophets. But in these times, He has revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's simple. God has revealed it to us in Jesus of Nazareth. And in His sacrifice on the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Not got greater, it rolled away. And it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. When we come to the cross of Christ at Calvary, and salvation, the road to salvation runs through Calvary. When we come there, we come before the cross not to receive a stamp of approval because we're good people or because we've done many things. Remember, as Joyce Meyer said, you got to separate your do from your who. We come to the cross and we bare our hearts and the divine hand of Almighty God reaches down and stamps a seal, Ephesians says, a seal that cannot be unbroken. He stamps a seal on our hearts, and that seal is a seal in blood that cannot be removed, as Paul told the Ephesians, until the redemption, till God redeems us and takes us up and cleanses us for all eternal life. How? Through the cross of Jesus Christ. Foolishness to the world, are we ever embarrassed to tell people about Jesus and the cross? Because it seems like foolishness in our day and age. Our age of wisdom, our age of knowledge. And people are running around saying, here's new teaching. I've got this new revelation. I say, what's wrong with the old? The old was good enough. It's the power of God for salvation. We don't need anything else. When we add one more thing, we begin to dilute not only the message, but the power of God. In fact, we pollute God's way when we add to it. We deny God's all sufficiency. People say, well, okay, now you're a Christian. Now here's what you need to do. And I look at them and I say, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. Yes, God desires that we live holy lives. But I get a little upset when someone tells me to be a Christian, you've got to do certain things, because that's not what the Bible teaches us. And when we do that, we put stumbling blocks in front of people. Is it any wonder people aren't flocking to the church? Because all of a sudden we throw all this stuff out there. We say, okay, now you're a Christian, now you've got to overcome all this. Now you've got to do this and you've got to do this. I had some people tell me once in my life, they tried to convince me that to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you had to speak in tongues. And they had heard me preach and been to some services, and I'd say, let me ask you a question. Do you feel that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? And they say, yeah. They said, yes. And I said, you know, I've never spoken in tongues in my life. And they insisted that to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you had to speak in tongues. I said, where does it say that in here? And it does not say that. It is not a prerequisite of being a Christian. It's not a prerequisite that you make a certain amount of money or live in a certain neighborhood or drive a certain car or that your name's a certain name or that you go to a certain church. It is not a prerequisite. The only thing is our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. We're going to dump our baggage. We're going to dump our earthly baggage the day we close our eyes for the last time. And there's not going to be any room in that casket for anything but your body going before the judgment seat of Almighty God. This is what caused divisions in the early church, and it causes them now, even in our own parish, sad to say. Look at what Paul says as he continues in chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers, I didn't come with eloquence or superior wisdom. This is Paul speaking, a man that was very educated. He said, I came to you with the testimony about God. And I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Christ and Christ crucified. If Paul didn't know anything else, that was the main thing, that he stayed on course. He said, I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. He didn't want to put a stumbling block in anybody's path. He didn't want anybody following him saying, you're the guy, you're great, you know what you're talking about, you are awesome, Paul, you're brilliant. He didn't want that. He said, we speak a message of wisdom among the mature. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that's been hidden and now that God has destined for our glory. He said, none of the rulers of this age understood it because if they did, they wouldn't have crucified Christ. But God has revealed this to us now by His Spirit, and that was His revelation in Jesus Christ. You see. Instead, we so often make it harder on people, and we try to come up with different things that people need to do and say and be. We become like the Pharisees in Matthew 23, Jesus pronouncing a list of woes on the Pharisees. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Why was that? Because the Pharisees were telling people to become a child of God. You needed to come and be circumcised for the males, be part of the Jewish community, and observe the Jewish laws and customs. But then the Pharisees were telling the people all these hundreds and possibly thousands of little laws. It's illegal to pick up your mat on the Sabbath and walk. It's illegal to do this. It's illegal to do that. And Jesus came and made a mockery of them and laughed at them. So let me ask you a question. If one of your livestock falls in a pit on the Sabbath, what are you going to do? Let him die? No, you're going to rescue him. And Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Because man had become so wrapped up in those laws, thinking that in order to be accepted by God and approved by God, we had to do and be certain things. And Jesus said, it's not that hard, it's simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. And I know faith is a hard thing. It's a hard journey. It's tough at times because we don't understand and we want to understand. But it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ stops stumbling around and focuses on, as Alistair Begg says on the radio many times, focuses on the main things. I love it when Alistair brings these to his messages. If you ever listen to him, you know what I'm talking about. When we read the Bible, we have to make the main things the plain things and the plain things the main things. Because God didn't intend for it to be that hard. It's not that hard. It's here in black and white. And yes, we have questions, so we turn to God's Word to help us understand even more. And it's okay to ask questions to God. It's okay to seek Him out. But sadly, what we have to stop, as the Church of Jesus Christ Universal, is putting all these stumbling blocks in people's way and bring them back to the cross and say, all you need to do is believe. Believe. main thing is Christ crucified, plain and simple. As Jesus implied when teaching the Pharisees, anything else that we put out there steers us away from the kingdom of God, and anything that steers us away from the kingdom of God is from Satan. But the true wise man, the true scholar, the true philosopher, in the eyes of God, is the one who focuses on the way, the truth, and the life, and the one who is focused on Christ in regards to their salvation has assurance and will never lose their life. One thing that liberates us as Christians and brings us freedom in everyday life and keeps us on the straight and narrow is assurance. And people often say to me, we really can't be sure. And I say, yes, we can. It's not that hard. The Bible says we can. John wrote, I write this to you so that you may know that if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you don't have life. It's simple. Why do we keep trying to make it so hard for people? Don't be embarrassed that the message of the cross is the power of God. It's not our job to change people's hearts. It's our job to tell them. And God works in them and through them to bring them to salvation. So as long as we stand firm and focused, not only will we not stumble, but others around us will not stumble. Because it's not really as hard as it seems when we get right down to the main things and the plain things. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your message of hope and assurance.